Hi. Guess what we're doing, buddy? Guess what we're
doing? What are we doing today?
We're going to do a show. We're going to do a Dead Pit Radio show.
It's the first show in 2 weeks. It's Rocktober, so we're getting ready for our favorite month when it comes to the world of horror. It's Rocktober Blood.
That's right. And one of our favorite movies is Rocktober Blood, actually.
Is it really? I've never seen it.
Well, you should see it. It's amazing.
Have you actually seen it?
I have, yeah. I've got it on DVD-R. It's pretty good.
Oh, killer. I might check it out someday.
You should do that. You son of a bitch.
Look, buddy, what in the fuck are we doing? Quit winking at me over here and act like you want to blow me.
I'll tell you what we're going to be doing.
We're becoming a hot topic again, Dead Pit is.
Are we pissing people off again? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, because like the best way we can piss people off is by actually telling the truth. That's what we've continued to do for years, and the truth hurts, evidently.
Man, like, you know what? As long as I've been doing this, and that's been 7 years now, I think, yeah. People have come and people have gone, and I've gotten close with people.
Your first pubic hair.
I went through puberty. And I thought people were friends of ours. They've turned around like shit all over us. And nothing surprises me anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, nothing. And this is no exception to that. So, if anybody out there thinks that it's a big deal that we piss some other people off that probably needed to be pissed off, then I got bad news for you. It just happens. I mean, it's amazing to me. If you really, really get behind something, right? And you see this in politics and religion and things like that, but that's politics and religion. That's something that actually has some sort of like bearing on something. But fucking like conventions and stuff, if you want to like not talk to anybody again because they don't like the same convention that you do, I don't know what to say to you anyway. I really don't.
Well, the thing I look at it is too is like, you know, and people say that we have an agenda or something like that, and I don't really know exactly what that agenda would be.
I think the agenda is to call attention to a bunch of bullshit. That's the only agenda.
Yeah,
I
mean, what do we really gain out of doing any of this? Look at it like that. All we want to do is basically the only agenda that I can see that we have is we want to be kind of proven that we were right all along. And
well, that's the thing though, and the thing that we're talking about is this whole little scenario that broke down with another promoter and his show and all this stuff recently happened on Facebook. It had nothing to do with us, though.
Right.
That's the thing that I don't get. How is any of this anything really to do with
nothing.
Us?
It doesn't really have anything to do with us. The problem is we actually have an audience where we can reach a lot of people on Facebook, and we just let them know what happened.
Yeah, so maybe you should not be a dickhead then. That's what I think. Instead of like getting on to us for calling attention to the fact that people that you like are assholes, won't you just tell them not to be fucking assholes then? That would probably help out a lot.
I don't think that would work that way.
No, I'm sure
it would. Plus, there's fucking like tongue deep in that guy's ass anyway, so it's not like they're ever going to fucking tell him what to do or anything. He can just stick to going to his... I think he's fucking banned from almost every show that we go to now because people are sick of his shit. But, like, he can still go to his 3 or 4 shows and try to sell his generic fucking shit that he has the same fucking shit every show. It's just the one thing that baffled me is because we were at Fright Night just right across from this guy. And I was just looking at all the shit that he had for sale. Like, and I was like, I would imagine he would be losing money doing these shows.
I would think so.
Because I know for a fact he pays for all that space, you know, and he has crap. Like, he sells shit. Like, he had these shirts up there that looked like they were, like, dry rotted from being up there, like, in that same spot for 15 years or something.
But the truth of the matter is, though, like, I mean, if you take away all the other stuff, all the feelings that we have towards this convention and this guy.
It's not really even the convention.
That's what I'm saying, though. If you take away all of that, like any, because that's what people are saying, is like that we have some sort of agenda against this person because of other stuff that's happened. All you got to do is look at the shit that's up there. Like, I'm sure it's down now, but I mean,
it's still
actually up.
If you go on my personal Facebook, you can find it.
Has nothing to do with us. Like, we didn't have any connection to that to begin with. But it's like some of the most assholish douchebag shit that you'll ever see in your life. And if people want to ignore that and act like that doesn't exist, then go bury your fucking head in the sand like everybody else does.
Talk about us. Talk trash about us.
Talk shit about us.
Yeah.
And it's like these fucking West Coast horror journalists and stuff do the same thing. They fucking act like all their buddies and all their buddies' films are the best thing in the world. And if anybody said anything bad about them, they don't fucking... You don't understand. I don't think people have ever really understood this point about us. We don't give a fuck about being popular. We don't give a fuck. It's never been an issue. It's never even been a consideration. We're not doing this show to push anything. And we don't care. If this show, if it ended right now, it'd be a bummer, but it ain't going to fucking ruin anything. It's not going to break
the bank.
I'm sure
a lot of people would be happy.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of people that would be a lot happier, but I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, we keep telling people this, but we don't have anything to lose. Like, we don't have, nobody is pulling our strings. Like, nobody is convincing us to do anything or say anything.
I mean, the way I look at it is, like, if you like going to a show and just to have fun and stuff like that, like, that's fine. If you still want to go to this particular show, we're not telling you not to. All we're doing is showing what this guy did to a loyal fan that had been to probably, like, I don't know, last 7 or 8 shows, whatever the guy's, I don't even know. Because I don't really know the guy that this happened to. But I don't care who the guy is. It could have been anybody. And we would have put that info out there because people for years have been saying, man, why are you guys ragging on this particular show? Not really listen to what we're saying. Because every time we ever talked about supposedly this particular show, it was related to the promoter who we have met a couple of different times. And I've talked to a lot of different people that have the same feelings as we do about this particular guy.
So now that we've done this though, now that we put that stuff out there, we really didn't have to do much of anything, to be honest. I think the only thing you did was like save the thread really. Like there wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah, 'cause I knew it would be deleted.
Yeah. So now that we've done that, which is somehow or another, a couple of people that are just fucking ape shit over that show, and one in particular that I sincerely, like, never fucking liked anyway, and could care less what he thinks about anything, but another couple that I actually do kind of, like enjoy their conversation and enjoy talking about horror films, have taken it upon themselves to apparently, like, delete us from Facebook, and... Okay, here's my question. Why can't you just have a different fucking opinion? Like, why does the fact that I don't like that show and you don't like that show mean that we don't have to like each other? Or the fact that we call attention to stuff that we think is important and so do you, why does that mean that we have to like fucking not talk to each other and act like complete dicks?
It's a us versus them mentality, I think. Because they try... Somebody,
only fucking five or something? Like,
somebody made a post... And I think this is how they market that show, kind of, is it's like, you go to this show, and you don't go to any other shows. And I know, I've heard from a couple people.
This ain't ECW, though.
One particular guy that we, look, you know, and I'm not going to say his name in a negative light, but I'll say his name. And I know our feelings haven't changed about this guy, but I don't even know if I should do this. Jason Payne.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I thought we were never going to talk about him
again.
Well,
this is not going to be particularly negative, so okay. I think we can get away with it. Jason, who, God, I mean, we do have a history with him, so I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But I do know that this past, and I've been told this by somebody else, this past, and we didn't see him there, we were at the show, Indianapolis Horror Hound Show, he decided to go, and that same crowd you're done. You're not with us anymore because you went to that show.
Well, good. I thought he said he was never, ever going to go to a fucking show, like a whorehound show.
We did, evidently. But, I mean, that's something else. But, like, they've got that mentality where you're not going to fucking go to another show and be in with our crowd.
Let me tell you something, though, man. These people need to understand. Like, I realize life's hard. Shit sucks a lot of the time, and you go to conventions to get away from all of it. I get it. I understand.
And I love Red Brown as much as anybody.
I love shows. I love getting away and escaping and everything. You are not 16 fucking years old anymore. This is not ECW from the fucking 90s. You're not a rebel. You're not doing anything.
You're a nerd like everybody else.
You're just like every other fucking convention person. You're not hipster. You're not cutting edge. You're not breaking the mold, and you're not adding anything on to anything. All you're doing is the same shit that kids in high school do. You're picking a group, and then you're fucking isolating all the other groups around you, which is the whole fucking idea. Like, it goes against everything that you supposedly want to do. Now it's time to wake the fuck up, stop drinking the Kool-Aid that dipshit McEnroe up there is, like, making everybody drink, and just grow, like, some fucking rational sense.
Well, the thing is like, you know, I know people, when it comes to the convention thing, people are probably like, because the majority of people that listen to our show don't even care. Like, they don't go to conventions or anything like that. And for probably some of the stuff we talked about on the show, probably have no interest in going to some of these shows, which is unfortunate because, like, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, you should go to these shows because they're fun. I mean, they're fun to go and meet the celebrities and stuff like that, and it's fun to hang out with people that you have similar interests in. But, you know, alienating every other show just so you can go to your one home show, I mean, that's ridiculous, man, because there's a lot of shows, like, not in our area that I'd love to go to. I mean, I'd love to go to Spooky Empire. I would love to go to Monster Mania and Chiller. And I'd love to go to Texas Frightmare. I mean, I'd love to go to all those shows. But, you know, there's something out there for everybody. And I think the fact of, oh, you must go to this particular show to talk and be cool and be hip, and we're going to watch these porn movies and shit and be, like, fucking brutal. It is childish and it's ridiculous. And whole slogan, too, that we were talking about, it's a family. This isn't a convention. It's a family atmosphere. Well, our post on Facebook completely, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Ignore that, and that's what they're doing. You can choose to ignore that. But it is the truth, too. Like, there's that side of it, too. That's the balanced side of it. Like, if you look at that, yeah, one time or another, that might have been true, but now look what it's become. But those never acknowledge that, because that doesn't fit in, you know. But it reminds me of the guy in, like, high school that only liked Slayer and, like, thought that anybody else liked it, that's just pussy shit. That's just, but you know what? Yeah. There's, like, you go insane listening to Slayer all the time. Yeah. There's other types of music. There's other types of shows. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, if you're a fan of music, like, in my opinion, if you're a fan of music, you're going to listen to all kinds of different music. And I know there's some stuff that I'm not a fan of, you know, the death metal and shit like that. But, like, I know that music fans are going to listen to more than just one genre, usually. I mean, because I was freaking you out on the ride back to Scarefest. I put on some fucking Sade, motherfucker.
Yeah, you did. And
I listen to Elton John and listen to the Eagles and Bob Seger. I can listen to fucking Steel Panther. I can listen to Saxon, you know. So it's okay. I mean, you know, I've got porn. Okay, I've got a lot of porn.
We've all got porn.
I've got exploitation movies in my collection.
Yeah,
but it's okay. You know, we've got fucking horror movies too, of course. But it's okay if you're a fan of fucking romantic comedies, even Uncle Bill. If you're a fan of the fucking, you know, family movies, Disney movies.
Yeah, in the grand scheme,
it's all
of things,
the same thing, kind of.
It really doesn't mean anything. Like it. That's what I'm saying, like, this whole idea that you have to be hardcore all the fucking time and act like you're just the biggest exploitation grindhouse badass ever. In the real world, that doesn't mean anything. It might mean something with that show. It doesn't mean anything in any other area of life. And another thing, too, only a fucking horror nerd, or only a nerd in general, is going to stand at one fucking convention where you got 70s porn stars and fucking, like, people from, like, one exploitation movie from the 80s. And make fun of other shows where they got, like, you have to be fucking clueless. Like, you're the same fucking person.
Yeah, I mean, people like, okay, and it is expensive. I'm not going to say it's not. The whole Jamie Lee Curtis thing in Whorehound, that's a big topic with these particular people. The $80. Okay, the deal is, man, the way I look at it is, if you got the money for it, it's charity. All of it's going to charity. So I think that Jamie Lee Curtis, I think that's an awesome thing that she's doing. She's not getting any money out of that. She didn't have to come to it, you know. Now, it would be different if it was $80 and she was pocketing all that. I would probably agree with you.
Right.
But to me, man, when somebody goes that level that's complaining about that sort of thing, and she's signing all that shit to give to a children's hospital or something like that, you're a piece of garbage for fucking bitching about that, just in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, the money's not going to her.
Yeah. I don't know. Somewhere along the way, I think that if you're emotionally retarded, you start to think that maybe being a scumbag is a good thing. And it's just not. It's totally not.
Well, that whole mentality of, I've done it my way. I've never really had a real job, and I'm living I'm living in squalor.
Yeah.
And I'm in a holler.
Right.
You know. But the thing is like, yeah, I mean, some of this stuff that we posted may have hit home to a few people, and that probably is why some of these people deleted us from Facebook, whatever else. And people can continue. They disagree with the shit I say. Hey, they don't have to be on there. It's not going to fucking, you know, I'm not going to go cry and shit if you delete me from Facebook. I'm going to continue to say what the hell I want to say, and you can agree or disagree, or you can fucking leave.
Right. And that's the thing, I think, though. Like, if you can't have a conversation with somebody that doesn't agree with you on something, then what the fuck what was going to happen anyway? It's going to eventually happen. Like, if you can't distance yourself from the fact that, hey, I like a show, and you don't like the show, or you don't like the promoter, and I like the promoter, and that's the only reason that you would, like, not want to talk anymore, well, fuck you then. God, what the...
Oh, you don't like it. Damn.
Oh, shit.
But, hey, I'm sure some people will be listening to this, and we'll probably hear from the same scumbag. Well, I don't know if we'll hear from him directly, but I'm sure he'll be running his mouth like always. And it's never going to stop. But I don't really give a shit, because he's not really any of the shit that he said previously about the whole Big Glass thing that we did. He never really fucking said anything except insults over and over and over again. We're asking you to defend the fact that a guy is coming 4 fucking hours to just hang out, and not, he didn't even want a fucking ticket. And he's like, I love your show, man. I can't wait, even though I'm not going to be able to go in there. And your fucking leader, your cult leader, whatever, just shit fucking all over him. And is, you know, had plenty of opportunity to be like, okay, man, I've overreacted a little bit. I'm a little stressed out right now. You know, we appreciate you coming up, but, you know, he could have said it in not easily a nicer way, but he didn't. So, I mean, that proved exactly what we were saying all along. He's a douchebag, and we never had any interest in giving him our money.
No. Thankfully, I'm glad that we actually decided that a long time ago that we were never going to do that. And people were constantly, like, trying to get us to go up to that show, man.
And we almost did.
We almost did one time, but we were like, no. I won't do it, and I'm really glad that we didn't.
Yeah. So,
but, you know.
It is what it is.
And the whole idea of this stuff going back and forth, it's not, in my mind, it's not about going back and forth with somebody. It's not like, you know, after all that one stuff happened with Fifth Avenue Stew and all that stuff, it's not like after that happened we were like, hey, we should probably start a fucking personal war with this fucking guy who also knows him. It was more like we just saw that. Saw what he had said to somebody else, thought it was fucking hilariously, like, shitty, and pointed that out. So if you keep doing that, we're just going to keep calling you on it.
Yeah.
Now, this idea that we're going back and forth is not really accurate, because if you just fucking act like a normal person, or like a, you know, respectful promoter, respectful person, then that probably wouldn't happen. But you ain't going to do that, because you don't know how to fucking do that.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, if you want to go back, I mean, I think the first show, this particular show, was in the year 2000. They've been around a long-ass time. Mm-hmm. And since then, I mean, you've had, I don't know how many other shows pop up and have become bigger, more successful shows. And I think a lot of the reason is because that guy just doesn't have a clue what he's doing overall. I mean, we could tell when we were at a Whorehound in Columbus, that was in the same general area. The place that, you know, there's a large fan base of fans that will come to the shows up there. So, you know, I don't really know exactly what the mentality is as far as running that show now, but, you know, it's evidently changed from what it originally was, because at one point in time, he seemed to really care about some of the lineups that he had.
Yeah. You know? And just to give you an idea, though, because I think we've talked about this some in the past, but just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, though, like, I don't, in terms of his show, this guy's show, I've never been to it. Never have. And like we said, probably never will. I'm sure never will now.
Yeah, we'll probably be killed if we actually put up there
now. But before, like, when
we get batteries thrown at us and shit. God damn you!
I wish they would so I could have one of them dumbasses arrest. Look, so before we even, like, really got this show started that well, like, we just started out, just as, like, a fan going up to somebody, like, talking about their show, talking about their stuff they were selling, that kind of thing. We just did that. And then after about 3 or 4 different times of having the same type of experience.
Yeah, because this guy was at every show.
Yeah. We were just like, you know what? No, this guy, this is fucking bullshit. Like, this guy's a dick.
Yeah. He's not a likable guy, really.
Yeah. I mean. So, if you don't have any, if you just go up to that show and you don't have any personal experience with this guy, that you don't, like, buy his tickets or you don't support his show or you just ran into him somewhere, you're going to be biased towards that because I'm sure that he's going to be a lot different towards people that,
spends money on.
Yeah, but apparently maybe not even that, you know, anymore.
Maybe in person, not on the internet.
Yeah. So that's all I say about it.
Yeah, we said enough about it, but the thing is, you know, this kind of thing's probably never, ever going to end, unfortunately. Like, you know, and the thing is like, you know, I'm not going to judge you if you want to go to the show and have fun. If that's your show you go to hang out and party and stuff like that. And I know, you know, some of our friends still go up there that I consider, you know, friends of the show and stuff. I never, ever told people to not go to that show. I mean, I dare you to go back in the archives and find where I'm like, you do not go to this show.
Right.
Because we never did it.
No.
We just gave our own experiences, our own opinion on the lineup of the guests. That's it.
I don't care if anybody goes or not. I'm just saying I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And I have as much right to say that as somebody that fucking kisses the guy's ass. So right. That's the way I look at it.
So we'll just leave it at that, and I'm sure we'll have, you know, we'll probably hear from a few people, but that is what it is.
Whatever.
So the show this week, we're going to have Michael Slipcase Felcher on a little bit later. We're going to get sleepy with it with the mic check. What do you think of that?
Oh, my God.
It's the first time we've had him on in a long time. I need to...
Yeah, I didn't even realize how long...
Well, I don't even know when the last time was. I think it was at least, last year. I don't think we've had him on any this year. But we did have plenty of the Sleepy Sliptastic Horror auctions. So I guess that has to count for something. Goddamn, how many of them did we have?
How many did we end up having? About 10?
I don't know. It was a lot. But yeah. I actually got some really cool... We both got some really cool things from that. But we're going to be talking about mainly the new Scream Factory stuff. And I want to try to reach out, possibly, since, man, they're announcing stuff like crazy. I think we should try to reach out with Cliff from Shout Factory, Scream Factory.
Somebody else, man.
Yeah.
Because I've tried.
We need to make some friends.
I've tried one particular person, like, and I was even like, hey.
Well, this is the guy that. This is the guy.
Yeah. I was so, like, hey, is there like...
I think Sleepy can hook us up with him.
I was like, is there a way to go around you, basically? Because I can tell that I'm not going to get anything done through you.
Well, we got to go to the head honcho, buddy. That's how we got Blue Underground. That's how we got Synapse. Evidently, Felcher ain't going to put in a good word for us, motherfucker. So, we got Felcher on. We're going to give him a call a little bit later. He's actually on the road to a particular show right now, I think.
Right. Which...
That's actually going to be weird.
That's going to be killer sales, what's going to be.
Where you at, Sleepy? You know?
He's in a Walmart parking lot.
He's going to the Walmart wasteland, Uncle Bill.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking to Sleepy a little bit later on, and we'll have a couple of announcements to make. Actually, on the Dead Pit webpage right now, the big thing is the Halloween tickets are officially up on the webpage. So you want to buy those.
Wow. So for our big Halloween screening down at the Strand Theater on October
27th. That's right.
At midnight.
And Chester Grimm's back. We'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Yeah, that
too.
Was awesome. I was like really excited to see that coming back.
That's right. So we have news to get to as well, so we might as well dive on in. Thigh wave, baby. Because there's a lot of stuff coming out. We're going to be talking to Sleepy about it in particular. From the guys at Shout Factory / Scream Factory, you know, they've made some announcements recently. One particular movie I haven't seen in ages that's going to be coming out December the 11th is Death Valley, which has a very young Peter Billingsley in it that was in the Christmas Story. I think this came out before Christmas Story because he's real small in it. I think that's like the Messy Marvin. Remember when he was Messy Marvin and shit? The chocolate syrup kid. He was, yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
I think he was Messy Marvin.
He might have been.
You don't remember Messy Marvin?
What the fuck is Messy Marvin, though, is what I'm trying to figure out.
Or he's always, like, making a mess with the chocolate syrup, making his chocolate milk and
oh,
shit.
Oh, yeah. That was a commercial. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't know it had a name, like Messy Marvin.
That was his name. He's Messy Marvin.
Okay.
Because I think my mom called me that for years. I was, like, making messes and shit.
Messy Marvin. I just shit all over the place, Mom. Okay, Messy Marvin. I'm sure that happened a lot, dude.
Yeah. So, that comes out December 11th, a Blu-ray DVD combo pack, which definitely looking forward to. I'm totally impressed with the releases that I've got so far.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, you know, and I hope they sell well as well, because it seems like this is like the closest thing we have to a modern day Anchor Bay.
It is.
From 2000.
I've just basically started ordering all their stuff. Like, I broke down.
Just to support it.
Just because it's amazing, like the way it's packaged and the way it looks and everything. But I do wish we could get in with somebody. Those would have to buy this shit. That stuff's expensive.
The Island is another movie that is it Peter Benchley that in another one that he did?
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael Caine is in that one as well. No, both of those come out December the 11th and never have been released on Blu-ray or DVD until now. And each Blu-ray DVD combo boasts original theatrical key art and anamorphic widescreen movie presentation and bonus content. And they also announced for early next year another film that's never been released even on DVD, but it's going to be on a Blu-ray and DVD combo. Wes Craven's classic Deadly Blessing, which stars Ernest Borgnine and Sharon Stone.
Michael Berryman's in that bitch, too.
And the cockroach-infested creature thriller, The Nest, on Blu-ray and DVD combo pack, which I don't think I've ever seen that, but the artwork is pretty amazing.
Who else released that, though? Did you ever figure that out? Some other company released that.
It was probably something like one of those really low-budget Code Red or something like that. I don't know. But both cult classics will arrive on January the 22nd. And it, the Deadly Blessing Collector's Edition contains a collectible cover featuring newly rendered retro style artwork with the reversal wraparound original theatrical key artwork, new extras and more. And I think our good friend Nathan Milner did that one as well.
Yeah. Amazing and, artist, by the way.
Yeah, he really is good too. And the thing is like, I actually talked to him about possibly doing some original artwork for a screening. I mean, it would have been great to do Halloween, but we just don't have time.
Right.
And believe it or not, man, I mean, it is expensive, but it's really not that bad. Like, if you wanted to do a run of posters and stuff, you could at least easily make your money back on it.
I'm sure.
I mean, his shit looks great, and even, like, if you know, I guess this is my plug, maybe he'll give us a discount once we finally do get something. But, like, if you're an independent filmmaker, and you're getting your film released, you know, on a semi-decent, you know, from a semi-decent company, I would totally get him to do the freaking cover art. Like, if we ever do get a movie made, he would be the one that did the damn artwork.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't even think anybody really comes close to his stuff right now.
Yeah. But also, they announced recently, and a lot of stuff coming out from Screen Factory, by the way, the DVD, which is unfortunate because I figured they would do a DVD Blu-ray combo as well. But as of right now, it's just the DVD of The Video Dead. It's a movie that had multiple petitions for release for a number of years. And even though it's available on Netflix streaming in high def, as of right now, it's only going to be released in standard def. But that may change, knowing, because I believe we were talking about the Peter Billingsley movie Death Valley, that was originally supposed to be just a DVD, but they changed it. So
yeah,
maybe like if enough people are like, we want the goddamn Blu-ray.
And I'd say The Video Dead actually has a bigger cult following than fucking Death Valley or The Island, really.
Yeah. And plus, it's already out on Netflix in high def, so you got to fucking do it in high def.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, so.
But I will say, you know, Screen Factory is by far the only company that's consistently putting out anything that's really ultra-collectible, yeah.
They're really it right now.
So,
we've got
I give
a couple
props.
Things, but nothing really consistent, you know.
All right. So, American Horror House.
Oh, yeah.
Or should I say Horror House?
Horror
House. On October the 13th, Sci-Fi will debut the original film American Horror House from director Darren Scott. It says Scott previously penned Tales from the Hood and directed Dark House and a number of Femme Fatales episodes for Cinemax. For his latest film, he pulls together a cast that includes Morgan Fairchild and Alessandra Trasani. The film is set against the backdrop of a Halloween night, and a sorority house is overrun with ghosts.
Hills,
meanwhile, a vengeful house mother goes on a killing spree. That sounds like some shit that you'd watch when you were a kid. You know what I mean? So bow down to fucking Darren Scott and that.
Yeah. It actually sounds pretty interesting, so I put it on there. I mean, it's a sci-fi original or something. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see with that. But, you know, who knows? I mean, Morgan Fairchild's in it. And anything with Morgan Fairchild in, I try to watch it.
I do too.
You know,
it's funny though because we're going to be doing the Halloween Spooky Spooktacular.
That's right. That's
in a while. So we're going to be giving you all kinds of shows like this though. Eventually, to
you're going
to
get really spooky,
really fuck spooky.
You know something though, that before we hit a break, that I wanted to discuss with you because I had no idea this movie exists, and I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, God damn it, I fucking got to watch it. Because it's just like one of those, what?
Oh, it was just dust or something. I thought it was a fucking spider.
I farted. It was on, somebody was talking about it on Facebook, and I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? They made a Steel Magnolias remake, Uncle Bill. Did you know about this?
No.
And it's a Lifetime original movie. It was Steel Magnolias with black women.
What?
They changed it.
So, they made a remake of Steel Magnolias.
With black women.
And it's on Lifetime.
With black women.
Is it?
Felicia Rashad's in it.
Is it a series or just
it's a movie?
A movie.
Yeah. Queen Latifah's in it, too. It's like something they'd be making in hell. I saw it, and I was like, wow. I mean, I could see them remaking it, but I figured it would be like in the theaters.
I mean, yeah, if you were the devil and you wanted to make a movie in hell, that would probably be
it. It's a Lifetime original movie.
That's the shittiest idea I've ever heard of.
It's Steel Magnolias with black women.
You know, I've heard a lot of shitty ideas, but that might be one of the
worst. I don't remember the rest of the cast, but it's like, yeah, kind of like the a collection of some of the best or the more popular African-American women out there. They got one woman from the Help. What was her name?
Woman from the Help.
That little short, chunky black woman.
I've never seen the Help, actually.
Well, she's been in all kinds of shit. I think she was in it, too. But it's like, the thing that's fucking hilarious about it is it's like, it looks like it's exactly the same as the original movie. Like, down to the fucking accent of the old hateful woman. What was her name?
What was her name? That was the one played by Shirley MacLaine, though, right?
Weezer or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, I guess she just, the director was like, okay, watch Steel Magnolias. We want that.
Yeah, I'm sure that was it.
So.
Because Lifetime is basically like the asylum films of television.
You've got to watch that trailer. Like, it's just so fucking, like, you're just like, what the fuck?
I will.
Anyway.
I'll definitely watch that.
That came out like last month or something.
I'm going to watch that right now, actually.
But anyway, we're going to take a break. We've got a couple more news topics to get to, and we're going to talk to Michael Slipcase Voucher. He's going to get sleepy with it.
Getting sleepy with it. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Here on DeadPit.com. Fans of Dead Pit Radio, have we got a treat for you? Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
Hell yeah, buddy. If you act between now and October the 31st, we're going to have a special surprise.
That's right. Magnolia Home Entertainment and Magnet Pictures have supplied Dead Pit Radio with 10 DVD copies of their upcoming film Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Universally hailed as one of the best new horror films to come out in the past year. You need to act now to get yours.
So, Jesco, what can they do to possibly win one of these 10 DVDs? You came up with the idea, let us know.
If you enter at deadpit.com or you submit at Deadpit Universe fan page a picture of you in a Halloween costume, or you have your face painted in a really neat Halloween-esque way, or if it comes closer to pumpkin season, having a really cool pumpkin carving, then you can be a winner, possibly, of this great movie.
Yeah, we have to judge it, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, if it's a piece of trash, we ain't going to pick it.
Yeah, so someone just...
Whoever has the best costume, decoration, has to be one of the 10 best you could possibly win this upcoming DVD.
Can you be one of the elite 10 in the Dead Pit universe?
Can you be creative enough?
Be creative this Halloween with Dead Pit Radio and Magnolia Pictures.
And CK is a pretty hard judge.
Yeah, he didn't like nothing.
That's true.
That's
you have to really impress me quite a bit.
So anyway, go over to the site, check it out. Contest, Facebook page, 10 free copies, 10 Blu-rays are out there to be won. If you can do it, can you take the challenge and win?
It's time to get excited.
I might just do it myself.
You ain't going to win nothing, Jess. We're not eligible to win any of this.
Well, I'll create new people for myself, too.
You probably would do that.
I would.
Some aliases. So go on deadpit.com right now. Email us with a costume that you have, deadpit at deadpit.com, or post it on the Facebook Universe Deadpit page.
You can have really awesome makeup or really cool, creative, original pumpkin carving.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, it would be that might be, you know, better if you did something deadpit. Wise, it might.
That's right.
Yeah, that
yeah.
might. That
you
might
butter
be
us up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Butter our bread.
That's right, because we're making
points.
The decisions.
Right.
We're the ones that'll pick who deserves these DVDs. Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Deadpit.com.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. We actually have news on an upcoming documentary, which is airing on Chiller Channel on October the 28th. It's called The American Scream. It's also recently premiered at the Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas. It's fantastic, Uncle Bill.
It's super.
Best Worst Movie Director, Michael Stevenson, who's actually, you remember him in Troll 2 as Joshua. It's the same fucking guy. He's a filmmaker now. And he's finished The American Scream, which is a touching documentary that follows three Halloween-obsessed households as they transfer their home into neighborhood-terrifying supernatural wonderlands. Endless styrofoam tombstones and backyard beasts come courtesy of a few supremely dedicated local home haunters who have devoted their lives to the art of handmade monster making. The American Scream is an original documentary for the Chiller Network, and it will premiere, of course, on October 28th at 8 p.m. It'll also be playing film festivals throughout October and November. If you want to get some more info on it, go to magicstoneproductions.com.
So is that his new deal now, Michael Stevenson? He's making documentaries and stuff?
He's making documentaries since...
Have you...
Best Worst Movie, which he did a great job on.
He did, yeah. I was surprised.
You know, he was one of those guys, too, and we had him on the show years ago whenever he was promoting Best Worst Movie, where he admitted, and I knew this was the case, and I didn't know if he would admit it or not.
Yeah.
Where he was like, because, you know, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, before we started doing the show, it was my thing to try to contact all the people from Troll 2 and just tell them, like, hey, you know, you should be proud of this movie. It's actually, like,
Right.
One of the most fun movies there is, in my opinion. It's a bad movie, but it's great at the same time. And I remember getting an email back from him, you know, and I asked for autographs and stuff too. And I was like, yeah, it'd be cool if you could sign something for me, you know. And he was like, well, I'm glad you enjoy the movie and everything, but I'm not interested in talking about it, or I don't want to have anything to do with it, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a few years later where it just finally got in his head where he's like, fuck, if I'm going to be known as, you know, I might as well just embrace it, and he did.
Yeah, because ultimately you will be, you know, if you make a movie like that.
He was smart about it, too, because he was like, well, I want to be a filmmaker, and I know that he was still wanting to be an actor at the time, too. But it was a perfect way to kind of launch a new career for him, and I think he did that. And, you know, this actually sounds like something I'd love to watch, and I'm sure eventually it'll be on Netflix or something, and I'll check it out.
It's a good idea for a documentary, too. I look forward to seeing it. Oh, God. The Mummy reboot.
Reboot.
God. Yeah, how many fucking reboots of The Mummy is there being exactly? Lynn Wiseman, who made the fucking amazingly craptastic Total Recall remake.
Nice, that I had seen a chance that, to see. I think I got high hopes for it.
Yeah, I did see it, and it sucks a dick 10 feet long. Is attached to direct The Mummy for Universal. The latest film, another reboot of the classic Universal Monsters, expected to hit theaters during summer of 2014. Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci are producing the project with John Spots scripting. It says Spots is credited with the original draft of Prometheus, spoke to some shithole thing, and then said, I'm really excited to write something scary.
And spooky.
And spooky. It's going to be really fucking spooky, he says. And he says, talking about Universal monster movies of the 30s or the more recent action-adventure movies, he says, they both have their virtues, and they've all been tremendously popular films and really influential in the pop culture. I would hope to pluck some of the elements of both of those series. Well, fuck.
Go pluck yourself.
Imagine that, somebody giving a half-assed answer like that to a remake question. I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's going to have a lot of elements of the old one, and I'm going to put new shit in it, too.
But all the new shit's going to suck.
Because all you people are dumb, and you'll go see it.
I remember when people like, that reminds me when people were so excited about Van Helsing, when that was going to come out.
Yeah.
And I remember from day one, I was like, God damn, that just looks like shit. And it's something I'm never, ever going to watch. And I never did. I never watched it.
I tried to watch it and literally got through about half of it. And I was like, I'm out.
It's like, I mean, every once in a while there's movies that come along like that where I can just tell that I'm never, ever fucking going
to
watch.
I've really, see, that's the thing, though. People don't realize, though. I've really tried to watch a lot of these movies that are so, that people talk so shitty about now. Like all those fucking Resident Evil movies and the Van Helsing movies. Well, not all of them. I got about to the third one, then stopped trying to watch them. But you know what I mean. Like I give them a shot. It's just they all turn out basically the same.
They all suck.
They're all really fucking horrible, yeah. I just stop after a while.
Whatever. I mean, if it's a new horror movie and Universal's involved in it, it's just guaranteed to suck ass.
What
really
was the other
is.
One that was like that? That was like Van Helsing that they put out that was so shitty. Underworld.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the other one that was like.
Anyway, opening this weekend in theaters, there's actually a couple things we can talk about. Frankenweenie, Uncle Bill. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, because I'm huge on Tim Burton. That's his Dark Shadows.
Yeah, it's his second film of the year. Tim Burton reconnects with his 1980s self. And many of the Burton players we associate with in his classic movies, such as Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, and Martin Landau. Man, I thought Martin Landau's fucking dead.
No, he's not dead.
Goddamn, how old is he?
Here's something I will say to you, though. I recently bought the Blu-ray of Ed Wood, because I hadn't seen that movie since it came out. And that's a Tim Burton film. That is probably, if not my favorite, at least in my top two or three favorite Tim Burton movies. Because, like, it's not really, like, all that gothic shit. First of all, it's black and white, so you can't get away with doing all that stupid shit that he does in, like, those newer movies.
Why'd he make it in black and white?
I don't know. He just, I guess he did it because all the Ed Wood movies were made that way, too.
Yeah.
But it's a great fucking movie. It just is. Like, and Martin Landau's in it. That's the reason it's
Honestly, like, there's a few Tim Burton movies that I like. Like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I always liked that.
Right.
I always liked Edward Scissorhands, always kind of liked that one.
Batman.
More recently, Big Fish, I thought that was a pretty good movie.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was one that didn't have any of that, you know, goth shit in it. But honestly, man, I mean, if you look at it like this, and you got to look at it from a business aspect, then that's what movies are nowadays. Every one of those fucking movies that he does like that make money.
Yeah.
I mean, look at, you know, you got Nightmare Before Christmas, which I fucking hate that movie. I really do. And I know people love the shit out of it. He did that, and he did, like, a couple other ones. He did Corpse Bride, it was like that.
Right.
All of them are like, they make a ton of fucking money. So, I mean, I can understand, I guess, why that's what he wants to do. And some of the movies that really don't look like that don't really do as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I just wish he'd fucking stop. He doesn't have to make all the movies like that anymore. He makes one about every year that's like that.
Actually, one in particular that he made that wasn't like that sucked dick was that Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
That shit was awful, man. Anyway.
There's another movie coming out, though, that I'm actually kind of looking forward to because I really like the original of this movie. No shit, I really do.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it, but Taken 2. The producer, Luc Besson, will turn anything into a movie and anything that sticks into a franchise. So the only thing that might prevent a third Brian Mills adventure is Liam Neeson's willingness to put his body, which will be 60 years old when this sequel is released, through the physical torment required to make a truly thrilling action film. Which was a surprise original hit, which is honestly, like, that kind of surprises me. I figured they would think that movie was going to be a big hit because didn't that movie have a huge budget? Like, it looked like it.
It seemed like it did. I don't think anybody realized how well it would do, though. But I don't think anybody realized it was going to be that good of a movie either. I know I didn't.
Yeah.
And fucking Liam Neeson. Like, I never
really. That's definitely, like, the best movie I think I've ever seen Liam Neeson in.
Yeah.
That's, at least it's the star. You're not talking about Neil.
Shit. Yeah, because Nail's right up there.
Yeah. I always, you know, this is not really, and I know I've said this before, and it's not really politically correct.
You're going to talk about her tits again.
Yeah, I mean, I often wonder if, like, real retards, if there are any real retards out there that have nice tits like that.
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Wouldn't that be amazing? That'd be, like, the best thing ever.
You talking about retard titties again.
I'm just saying.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, though.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that, though. I love it.
It'd be great.
Are you ready to talk about this convention that's coming up?
I'm ready for a good time. I know that.
Yeah. Are you ready for the limelight?
Yeah.
So get ready for Walmart Wasteland, boys. It's the new conventions this weekend, actually. Special guests include some of our personal favorites, and we've met these people several times.
Oh, yeah. Great guys.
Lord ass Spider-Man's going to be there.
That's right.
And he's going to be signing autographs, taking pictures. There's a fee for
farting in your mouth.
Farting in your jaw and in your dinner. There's actually a $10 fee for him farting in your dinner salad. Yeah. So that'll be good. Fifth Avenue Stew's going to be there. I have heard recently that he's been imprisoned. So I don't know if he's going to be getting out or not in time for the show. But I think it was for, he was selling some indecent materials and things like that. As
piss porn.
Yeah, as he normally does. But good news, though, they got lord-ass Joker to replace you. Ain't no way to fucking say
you
that.
You got to buy down lord-ass Joker.
Yeah. And the Magic Pony's going to be there.
Right.
He's going to be giving Magic Pony rides.
That's right.
To all the children.
So, and more. You can go to the Walmart Wasteland Facebook page for more details. They're actually too cheap to actually have a .com, so it's just a Facebook page.
But also, DVD and Blu-ray releases for October the 9th. Prometheus is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. I'd like to see that. Because we thought about going to see it in the theater, but it's like 3 hours long, and I don't think I can get you to do it. E.T. the Extraterrestrial Anniversary Edition, which I guess that's the 30th anniversary, as sad as that shit is. That's that fucking old. It's coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy, and ultraviolet. Hostel and Hostel 2, the Blu-ray double feature. You got to buy that right now.
What's funny?
Is that already $5?
No. There's actually a... You can get the Hostel and Hostel 2 Blu-ray double feature on Amazon. It's $10. And they actually have, like, Hostel, Hostel 2, and like some direct-to-DVD, like shitty horror movies that they have on the DVD for like $4. So they can't really get rid of these movies now.
And Basket Case 3, The Progeny, is coming on DVD from Sense. Here's something I'm thinking, though, man. Seriously, think about it for a second. How long is it going to be until Eli Roth starts doing conventions? It's only a matter of time.
Here's something that I actually think it may be sooner than we think.
I think it will, because his career is fucking... I'm serious, it's gone. Like,
because somebody... I may be wrong about this. Somebody posted something about one of our favorite shows, and it's a teaser. I think within the next year we might be able to meet Eli Roth.
I think it's going to happen. I really do, because I don't think he's doing anything else. I think he's going to have a shitty little project to work on that he's going to want to get out there, and he'll do it.
He's got that... Is it Netflix show or something that he's doing?
And I'll be right there. Oh my God, it'll be the greatest.
We've got to have
it'll
somebody
be the
video
greatest.
It. It's got
fucking.
It's got to be on a DVD. We've got to have somebody video it.
Oh God.
Hey Eli, what's going on, man? Fist bump. What's up, brother?
Hey, bro. Bro,
the thing is, too, it's like, here's the thing people don't realize about us. I don't like the. Well, yeah, people should realize that. I don't like a guy's movies, but I have no problem with a guy.
No, he's actually really nice. Remember when we did the Road to Hostel 2? He put up the fucking video on his Facebook or MySpace or something.
Like, I'm not a fan of his movie, like the movies he directed and shit. But look, I'm not. You know, that's what people have misconceptions about the Pit, Uncle Bill. They need to realize when we meet Eli Roth, goddamn it, I don't want to fight nobody. I don't want to be mean to anybody. I'm going to give him a fist bump and I'm going to be like, buddy, thank you for keeping it brutal all these years.
You're brutal as
good fun. To meet you. It's the Creepy Kentucky and your buddy from Dead Pit. I was that guy that called you at the time trying to get you to do an interview, but you never returned my phone call. It's all right, though, buddy. I know you're a busy guy.
You're not that busy, really, now.
Yeah, but you're going to say that to him, butter him up a little bit. Be like, hey, buddy, we'll do an interview with you right now.
Butter ye bread, Bowen. I can't wait, though, because I know it's going to happen.
I'm going to get you feedback on Hostel 3. And Hostel 3 sucked ass, too, and you wasn't even a part of it.
Right. Although, I don't know. I guess Hostel 3 probably was worse than Hostel and Hostel 2.
I don't know. I don't know how you'd rank shit like that.
No.
It'd be like ranking the different, you know, like three different people's shit or something. Be like, oh, which one tastes better?
Three big old burly men's asses. Hey, which one looks nice?
So you have three different shit piles in a bowl. You're like, God damn, shit.
That tastes like shit.
You're like, the shit taste test. Which piece of shit tastes better?
It's shit.
So, anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Michael Slipcase Felcher on the show, hopefully. We're going to get a hold
of
him.
You know what else we're going to do when we get back, don't
What's
you?
What's that?
Get us a Harden.
I already have me a Harden.
Get you a Harden.
I already have me a Harden there.
Ew.
So we'll be back with the Slipster here on DeadPit.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Slipcase, Michael Bell, Slipcase, Michael Bell, Slipcase, Michael Bell, Slip. He is everywhere. Oh, goddamn. Get slid with that motherfucker. Make some DVD extras. Goddamn, hurry. I want to watch some DVDs. Slip it, slip it. Case, case, count your baby. Whoa, sucky, sucky. Slipcase, Michael Belfast. Slipcase, Michael Belfast. Slipcase, Michael Belfast. Slip. Get slippy with it. Slip it, motherfucker. Slip it.
So, it's been, like, when was the last time we even did a mic check? We were trying to think. I think it was, like, at least last year sometime.
Yeah, it was last year sometime. I don't think we've done one this year, but I want to say it was maybe right around holidays last year.
Yeah, sounds about right. And I know you've been real busy, like, because we first heard about, like, some of the stuff you're working on months ago, and we didn't really get, you know, we got some sort of vague details on it, but like the whole thing with Scream Factory, I mean, you're kind of working on a lot of their stuff, and it seems to be like your big thing right now. I mean, like, I don't know, are you working on any other studio stuff right now other than Scream Factory, or is that pretty much it for you?
By and large, it's pretty much it, although there are a couple things on the side that are percolating that are hopefully going to come to pass here pretty soon. But yeah, I've been with the Scream Factory line, it has just been, it's just been a constant stream of stuff, just one right on top of the other. So even if there were opportunities to work for other, you know, studios and stuff at the moment, they really wouldn't, I really wouldn't have much time to do it. Besides, the titles I'm working on for Scream are all so interesting and cool. It's like, what else do I really need?
Yeah. I mean, you have been pretty much the driving force behind some of the best documentaries on these new Blu-ray releases. I know a lot of people are shitting their pants about the Halloween 2 and Halloween 3.
So that was like the
Blu-ray documentaries, yeah. And it just seems like that they are really cranking them out now. Like, got the Funhouse coming up, and then let's see, Terror Train's coming up.
They live.
Yeah. I mean, just some amazing.
Oh yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. No. They've been one on, just piling one on top of you. Actually, I've been working on all these in various stages or forms pretty much all at the same time. When I was shooting Halloween stuff, I was shooting stuff at the time for They Live and for the Funhouse, and I was shooting, I mean, because at this point, so I've got something due almost every 3 or 4 weeks, so I have to work on multiple things at once, or otherwise I just get stuck at the very end with nothing to do.
Yeah.
And or like, you know, I got a whole project due in 3 weeks. Like, how am I going to get this started? So I've had to kind of readjust, because usually it's around this time of the year that my workload usually powers down, because most of the stuff I work on is horror, so it all comes out around Halloween. And so usually it's around this time I run out of things to do when I spend the next two or three months eating ramen noodles in the dark.
Right.
Well, it seems so, like, but that's not going to be the case this time, because with the Scream Factory lineup, it's nonstop. They're not going to just do it around Halloween. They're going to keep releasing stuff every month. So,
well, I know they said for the next few weeks they're going to be announcing a new title every Friday, and that seems to. I know last Friday they announced The Video Dead, which had petitions online for years. That was one of them that people wanted to release. But like, something you want to go back to, like when we were talking to you last year. And this was really before all this stuff came about, or I don't know how soon you knew about it or anything. Like, for me,
it's been in development for a year. The Universal deal was well over a year in the making. So I kind of knew a lot of this stuff even back probably when I last spoke to you, but it was still way too early to actually say anything about it.
Yeah, because at that point, like, it looked like, you know, a lot of the genre studios and stuff, like we've talked before, and like how much Anchor Bay has changed. And really, I mean, companies like Blue Underground seem to be, you know, a lot of their releases seem to be few and far between nowadays. And you know, a lot of the stuff like we were talking about a couple of years ago, where you were doing stuff for Lionsgate and Sony and MGM and all that stuff, they seem to not be interested as much in the genre stuff anymore. So it seemed...
It's interesting, because it's kind of gone back to what it was in the early days of DVD, where the studios... You know, they knew it was a revenue stream, but they didn't think it was like the end all be all to kind of make up for the fact that some of their films didn't do well in the theater. They were willing to let smaller titles out the door and license them out to Anchor Bay, like we did Anchor Bay back in the early 2000s. We were able to get stuff from Universal and Disney back then, And then there was a long period there where no one licensed anything. I mean, unless you were Criterion, and even then they could only get one or two things out. The studios just went out, no, fuck you. It's all ours, and we want to have everything out. And then I got to work with the studios quite a bit during that period because they would actually do a Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, or they would do a Monsters. Well, Lionsgate was, they're still, I still think they're still interested in doing stuff like that. But, you know, whereas like Sony and Night of the Creeps, it's a miracle that happened looking back at it now, because now they are licensing stuff out, but they're not letting anybody do any new extras for any of their titles. And you would have thought with Fright Night they would have done it themselves with the remake coming out, but they didn't even consider it. And so the fact that, you know, so a lot of the studios aren't doing it in the smaller titles anymore, but the upshot to that is they are now more willing to consider letting a Shout Factory or a Twilight Time or someone like that have access to those titles for sub-licensing, which is great for me because then I get to work with a company that I really like working with anyway, like Shout Factory. I mean, they're one of my favorite people in the world to work for, and we can pretty much do not, you know, we don't have a lot of money. We never do. I mean, I didn't get into this business to get rich, because if I did, that was the dumbest decision I ever made. But it's the freedom and the enthusiasm behind these releases that's exciting to me, because they want to do anything and everything they can, and they really want to cater to the fans and, you know, do the custom artworks and the original artworks on the other side. And, you know, it's just, it's a really, it's actually in a weird way, I thought right about now, it'd be kind of dying off, but even though I'm working for less different companies, fewer companies, the work I'm getting now is more than I've ever had. So it's kind of a actually, it's kind of a nice trade-off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, let's be honest for a second about this, too, because you know when Night of the Creeps came out, and they put the different covers and stuff up, and there's that whole big shitstorm about all that and everything. It's like, yeah. I think it is, in a way, like a good thing that a lot of these companies kind of license these out to other companies that seem to maybe get it a little bit more. I don't know if that makes any sense, but they, you know,
I mean, if Night of the Creeps had gone to South Factory, I still would have been able to do everything I did for Sony, but I can guarantee that the artwork would have been a fuck a little better than what we ended up with.
Right.
I remember there was some review of Night of the Creeps that I just thought was hilarious, and it was really true. They gave the disc high marks and everything, but they said, it's refreshing to know that after 20 some odd years, that Sony still has no idea how to market Night of the Creeps.
No.
And I just thought, that's pretty much it. I mean, they still, you know, I remember when Fred and I saw those initial artwork choices. I mean, we saw ones that the public never saw that were 10 times worse than what actually got released, if you can actually conceive of how bad these were. They didn't get, I mean, God bless Sony. They hired me. They let me do all the stuff I wanted to do. The people I worked with there at the time were great. They're all gone now. But, you know, it's just at the end of the day, they just kind of threw it out there, and it didn't really get, you know, the fans all bought it, but it didn't really, unlike Monster Squad, which exploded when it got, you know, because Lionsgate really backed that release. Sony just kind of threw it out there, and it just kind of did its thing and died, but at least it's still available, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like in order for you to have a market like that, you have to know your audience, and I think that Scream Factory and Shout Factory does know, and I think I thought that with the Roger Corman releases, like they understood how to market those, and they seem to understand how to market these too.
Yeah, no, it's been very successful so far from what I understand. Halloween 2 and 3 are doing really well, and it's been interesting seeing now that the market really is beginning to transition from the Best Buys and the Targets and stuff like that, because, you know, Best Buy is hardly taking anything anymore. Like Best Buy or like Target took the DVDs, but they didn't take the Blu-rays. So people are buying, Amazon is becoming the source.
Yeah.
That's where people are really buying their stuff now. And so now we're seeing that the market is beginning to shift over. Finally, there's becoming a much more dependable revenue stream from online sales. And so now it's just a matter of, okay, making sure the product gets the attention it deserves, the promotion deserves, and making sure that the audience that'll click on Amazon and do, you know, the Amazon Prime and just add it to their cart without thinking about it does that. So it's gone from going off to the video store every day and looking at the shelves and going, oh, hey, this looks interesting, to making sure it's properly featured on websites. Because now it's, it's just so much better to do. It's, first of all, it's cheaper. It's easier. It comes right to your door. You get pricing online better than you could ever get in the stores. The only thing that I miss, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, is the immediacy of finding it at the store, of having it in your hand when you buy it. And that's, I always enjoy going up to the store on Street Date and getting the stuff. And with some things, I still enjoy that. But, you know, it's just not the same as it used to be.
Well, I mean, Best Buy in particular, like when you go in Best Buy anymore.
That's the saddest shit ever.
I mean, it's like, because I can remember Best Buy, like, was the, that was the fucking place you went, you know. They had like
a whole aisle
of stuff, you know, all the new releases from, you know, they'd have Sin Apps, Anchor Bay, all, even Troma, they had Troma stuff, you know, anymore.
And it's weird, you'll still see odd stuff in there. It's like, how did this get in here? And yet this didn't, you know, I mean, but then, you know, I went in there just the other day and they had Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 Blue on sale for $8. So I bought like all they had on the shelf because it was like, I wanted to have some copies for myself and for some friends because they, God bless MGM, they carry all my stuff that I did for the DVD over and put it all on the Blu-ray, and it all looks great. So it's like, you know, I was able to find that at Best Buy. But probably the only reason I was able to find that is they're doing a Halloween promotion. And then they have this exclusive Nightmare on Elm Street, the whole box set of all the first seven films. So that's an exclusive at there. So you still find things every now and then, but, you know, you would think they could go there and find Halloween 2 and 3, but, you know, they weren't interested. It was like, well, fuck you. I just, you know, the problem is, back then, it worked as you go. A lot of people didn't want to shop online. Now people are so pissed off at that, they're just like, well, fuck you, I'll just buy it on Amazon. It's what I wanted to do anyway.
Well, so, did it ever get to a point, though, where we were talking about, like, last year, where it didn't really look like, you know, I mean, you may have known or something like that, but did you ever get to a point where you're like, man, I'm going to have to fucking, like, start doing something else? You know, did it ever get to that level because...
Every year you get to a point like that. Especially usually around this time every year because it's like you're done with that year's slate. And every year has been busier than the last, despite the fact that I never think it's going to be. And all indications are it's not going to be because you get, especially when you get into, like, December... Because usually with Hollywood, once Thanksgiving hits, it shut down for a month. I mean, you can't get anything done out there. I don't care. From Thanksgiving to at least a week or two after New Year's, it's just dead. So forget about getting any proposals in or any ideas or any feedback from anybody. So it's just fucking crickets. And so you're just sitting there and hoping to God that stuff's going to come into play for next year. And you're just kind of like winging it on nothing for months on end. That's been my pattern for the past 6 or 7 years. And it has not been good for my stress. And what little hair I have left has been falling out at a rapid rate during those months. But at the same time, this year is going to be a different year for me because I'm going to have work all through the holidays and into next year. And providing that the Screen Factory thing keeps going, I'm going to have steady work all the way through next year at this time. I may still be working on stuff. I mean, who knows? They're committed to continually fueling this line with a lot of really great products. And, you know, it's, which is great, but it's, I'm used to having a 3 month break where I just stare at the wall and go insane for a while, but I'm not going to have that this year.
So the big question is though, Slippy, how long can you continue to do this before developing a debilitating cocaine habit?
I'm not saying how do you know I haven't already?
That 3 month period is when you got to go out and get the eight balls and whatnot. So we understand.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's fine. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Are you perky? Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So these actually, I agree with you. This is one of the only lines of titles that I really do feel like deserve promotion. What?
I know, because this is one of those deals too where like you're kind of the fanboy comes back out. Where we've done this show, we're used to getting, you know, Shout Factory, I don't know why, but they've just never really sent us anything. But like the product is just so goddamn good, like we're fine with fucking buying it.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
We don't have like a problem.
Wait, you're actually buying stuff?
Yeah, we've actually had to buy these.
Wow, you must really like these because you guys don't buy shit.
Well, no, technically, I save my gift cards, so I use gift cards, but I am kind
of. Oh, okay, yeah.
So let's run through some shit here, Slip, because people are dying to know. They really are about some of these things. So you've already done.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that's out and about and has been announced, I can talk about to some degree, but there's a few things I can't. But I'll answer whatever I can, because unlike some of the other studios I've worked with, they really try to keep the announcements and all the stuff kind of close to the, close to the vest, so that they can parcel it out when they want to.
Yeah, that's
so
just...
I've had a tendency to go off half-cocked and say a few things I shouldn't have, and that's gotten me in trouble. So I've got to be a little bit careful.
Okay, but they don't realize that we're kind of a big deal, so you got to take that in consideration.
Yeah, but we can talk about the Munchies Uber Edition that's going to be coming out. I mean, that's the Blu-ray set.
The three-disc edition or the 3D edition?
Well, there's two different editions.
When is the Ultraviolet copy coming out, though? That's what I want to know.
I think that's in the works, but I don't know. I mean, we're doing the 3D conversion on Munchies right now, and then we're adding some new CGI enhancements to the film, and it's like a $5-6 million undertaking.
Hell yeah!
Well, I heard there was actually going to be a 4D version where you actually get the scratch and sniff card with it.
Oh well, those are already printed up.
Oh, good.
I have a couple of those they in the house, and they're awesome. Nothing smells as good as a Munchie.
Hell yeah.
No, but I did really want to talk about the ones that are already out, because especially one in particular that I'm kind of excited about, which is They Live.
Yeah, boy, yeah.
Which has probably the best cover I've ever seen of anything ever made. But
yeah, the Dude Designs did that cover. One good thing about what Shout's been doing is that they've gotten some really talented, he's done the cover. Nathan Milliner has done some wonderful covers for us. And then they just hired another gentleman whose name I'm unfortunately kind of spacing on. He just did Phantasm 2, which is a very different kind of style. So they're going to really mix it up and let a lot of artists kind of tackle some of these things. And yet they're still going to have the original artwork on the backside, because people love bitching about cover art. I swear to God. I used to be one of those people that would bitch about it till I got into the position where people were bitching it to me at Anchor Bay, and I'm like, oh, God, shut up. I mean, at the end of the day, either the DVD is worth watching or it isn't. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some cover arts I'm still pissed off about, but it's like I won't listen to anybody bitching about any of the Screen Factory stuff, because it's like, don't like it, put the original theatrical art on it. Then that's we have solved your problem.
Right. Problem solved. So is there anything like you worked on the special features for that one, right?
For They Live, most definitely.
Okay, is there any behind the scenes stuff about that? I mean, what did you all do? Like, who did you get? Like, as far as interviews and stuff go, but also like where did
we did a lot on that one actually. That one was a really interesting project because we wanted to tops on the list was getting the commentary that John Carpenter did with Roddy Piper for the UK edition, and because that's a great commentary, and there was no point in trying to get that done again, because it wasn't going to be any. I mean, that when you listen to that commentary, it's like, well, there's no way to improve upon that. So it was. We did manage to secure that. So once that was in place, we did a new interview with John Carpenter, and it's actually very, very good. He did, and so that's its own piece. We got a new interview with Meg Foster to talk about her role in the film. And then this was the one, for me, the one I really wanted to do was I wanted to do an interview with Keith David. Because
yeah.
I love Keith David. He's one of my favorite actors. And I thought, okay, if we're lucky enough to get Keith David, I want to talk to him not only about They Live, but I want to talk about The Thing as well.
Because
he wasn't on the documentary for The Thing that they did way back in the day. And I figured, it's like, well, look, They Live is a Carpenter film where he's fighting aliens. The Thing is a fucking Carpenter film where he's fighting aliens. Let's cover both films together. And sure enough, we got him, and he talked about both. And he tells some fucking great stories about his time on both movies. And so that one, we got a really great interview with him. We have the original EPK, the original making of, which ran about 8 minutes long. We have that on there. We also have, and this was the cool thing that came completely out of left field. I contacted the gentleman who shot the EPK that was on was actually on the set shooting some behind the scenes stuff. And as it turns out, he also shot footage. If you watch They Live, every now and then when you watch, there's stuff the shots of the television when the broadcast gets interrupted, and you'll see commercials.
Yeah.
Very briefly for, this guy shot footage for all those fake commercials in the movie, and he still had his original tape of all the footage that he shot for those fake commercials.
Huh.
And so I got that from him, and I edited together a highlight reel of what these commercials would have looked like had they been sort of presented by themselves. And some of them are hilarious because some of them were clearly meant to have been shown in the final moments of the movie where the signal gets turned off. So there's like these guys on a basketball court who are high-fiving each other, and then midway through the high-five, it goes static, and one of them turns into an alien.
Yeah.
And you've never seen this before. It was never shown in the movie. One was with a rock band doing a rock video, and the lead guitarist turns around. He's got this big, metal 80s hair, but he's turned into an alien. And it's great stuff. So none of that stuff's ever been seen before. So we have a couple minutes of just the footage from those commercials on there. And then we have tons of trailers and TV spots on there. Still gallery, we got the screenplay on there. I mean, that one's pretty packed. I mean, it's pretty packed.
And also, of course, Terror Train, which I think that's the next one to come out.
I think it comes out the same day as the Funhouse,
October
16th.
Okay. Funhouse, which was actually released in the UK. I don't know how much of that stuff was ported over or how much new stuff.
No, we didn't. We weren't able to. I don't know if we weren't able to get the stuff from the UK or if it wasn't something that we were really interested in pursuing. I think Screen Factory's attitude was, let's do stuff that's unique to our edition. So we kind of did stuff and interviewed people that were not on that other edition. So, but we got like a new commentary with Toby Hooper, moderated by Tim Sullivan, which is really, really fun. And you learn a lot about the production through that. And then I got interviews with, the composer, John Beale, whose score for The Funhouse is one of the best scores for any 80s horror movie. It was really great. Mark L. Lester, who directed Commando, he was an executive producer on this movie. So we interviewed him, and then the last minute, we got an interview with Kevin Conway, who plays the Funhouse Barker.
Yeah.
And he's a great character actor. His voice is very, very distinctive. And it was great because I put a little request in at the end of my questions. I said, if he doesn't mind, could you have him turn to the camera and say, "Who dares enter the Funhouse?" And he did it. And so it's in the featurette because he did it perfectly. Who is man enough to enter its world of darkness? It was great. So he was really fun. And then we had a friend of mine, Eddie Samuelson from New York, who runs AV Maniacs. He had an audio interview with William Finley, who played the magician Marco the Magnificent in the film. He worked with Toby a lot of times, but sadly he had passed away earlier in the year. So we have a little sort of like a 5-minute mini audio commentary from him over his scene, talking about working with Toby on that movie. And then we have, the deleted scenes from the TV version are also present on there as well.
Now, something I was curious about too, is it Lou, what's his name? Lou Duba? The guy that
Wayne Doba.
Wayne Doba, yeah. Did you all do anything with him?
We tried contacting Wayne and we never got a response.
Oh, okay. That's a shame too, man, because I've seen him do some Q&As and stuff. He's really good.
He is. And it was the same with Derek McKinnon on Terror Train. We tried contacting Derek, and we never were able to get a response. And we tried everything but, sending smoke signals up. I mean, it was it's weird, because it's funny. I moderated a slasher panel at Horror Hound last year that had both Wayne Doba and Derek McKinnon on it. And yet this was before I got either one of these projects, and I wasn't able to get a hold of either one of these guys for the releases. But, yeah, that was a problem on a couple of these. I mean, you always cast a really wide net, hoping you're going to get as many people as possible. And on some projects, you get more than you bargained for. And other ones, like Terror Train, was quite a fight because none of the cast were available. No one, either we never heard anything back, or we heard a definite no way.
Well, and I know too, because you were talking
about the director almost did a commentary, but he he changed his mind literally at the last minute. He was in, ready to record the commentary track, and he suddenly decided, got up and left, and didn't come back.
That's fucking killer. So he was sitting in there. Was, he basically just pulled a
knee. Should I do this or should I not?
Yeah, he pulled like a Nick Nolte on you.
He was a very nice guy. I don't want to say anything against him. He was a very, very nice guy. He'd been conflicted about doing it the whole, it was his first movie, and apparently he just doesn't think very highly of it anymore, or to some degree. But he never really let on how much of a problem it was. And like, I said, well, we were going to do the commentary as sort of a career retrospective on him and talk about Terror Train a little bit and kind of move, kind of like what I did when I did the commentary with Tom Atkins for Halloween 3. Now, we talk about Halloween 3, but if I'm going to be sitting next to Tom Atkins for 90 minutes, I want to hear everything this man has to say about working with Frank Sinatra on The Detective and working with. So I ended up doing sort of like a career commentary with Tom rather than just focusing on Halloween 3. Because he's in the documentary for Halloween 3, so we hear all the stories anyway. And it was going to be the same with the director of Terror Train, but at the last minute he just said, I can't do this, and he walked out, and I've never heard from him since.
I got to ask, though, and I'm not going to pick on him or anything, but, like, what, I mean, that might have been his first film, but what the hell else did he do? Like, did he actually go on to do anything?
He went on to do Under Fire with Gene Hackman. He went on to do Tomorrow Never Dies, the Pierce Brosnan, James Bond movie. He did The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he went on to have a pretty, Air America with Mel Gibson. I mean, he did a lot of big films after that. And I just, for whatever reason, like I said, he was very, very nice with me and very, very polite. And at the end of the day, I kind of just wish he had just been firm with me at the beginning and said, there's no way in the world I'm going to do this, but thank you for asking, but you know, whatever, it's what it is.
Yeah,
that's true. But some of the stuff that's a little bit down the road, and I know we talked about it a little bit, because I know Phantasm 2 is one.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, I mean, you know that we're both huge Phantasm fans, and
yeah,
it was one of those deals where, you know, Universal, who owned Phantasm 2, were like, this is never ever gonna happen. You know, I was surprised they released the DVD.
And it was, I remember that one, I think more than any other title one I was in Anchor Bay that we tried. I can't remember how much money we offered Universal back in the day to do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't care. It wasn't that they were prone, you know, like they were dying to do Phantasm 2, but it was sort of a situation where it's like, well, we don't care about this. Well, then can we do it? No, it's mine. You know, it didn't really matter what it was, but it's like, no, it's ours. You can't have it, even though we don't care about it. It's like, it was almost kind of childish in a way, but no, they finally got Phantasm 2 away from Universal, finally. And that's actually one of the major ones I'm working on right now, actually.
And there's something else, too, that we've been kind of talking about as well, because I know Don Coscarelli, you know, kinds of, he owns these movies and licenses them out, the other ones, the other three. Is there a chance
he does control the other three. Phantasm 2 is the only one he doesn't have domestic control of.
Is there a possible chance that we could see the other, because I don't think Anchor Bay is going to do anything with them as far as the high def.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said that hasn't been thought about, but there's nothing planned that I'm aware of, no. But, you know, that could change. That could change down the road. I mean, I am sure Scream Factory would love to do the entire Phantasm series. But there is absolutely nothing planned at this moment for any of the other films. We're just focusing on Phantasm 2 right now.
Okay. So we don't get you into trouble with any of the sources, I'll just say, what can you say about Phantasm 2?
It's coming. Yeah, I mean, yeah. All I can say is that there will be special features on the disc.
Okay.
And as you would imagine, with something as important as Phantasm 2 and as cool as, because it's my favorite of the Phantasm series. I mean, I love the first one, but there's just something about Phantasm 2. I just think everything was working on all cylinders in that movie. You know, I'm going to do whatever I can for it, but everything's still in flux at the moment as to what that's going to be. But this will not. All I will say is this will not be a bare bones release.
Okay.
Well, I think the thing about Phantasm 2 is it really Phantasm, the first one is kind of like completely different from the other three movies, in my opinion, because Reggie really becomes the main star in the second movie. And I think that's how it
kind of more his story, because Mike is sort of out of commission. You just kind of see it from his point of view at the beginning and how he's the one kind of holding all the shit together. And the performances in the movie were all very, very strong. It was funny, when I went and saw the Avengers, there's a great moment in the Avengers where Loki has, you know, he's got everybody outside cowering, and he says, you know, basically, you're all mine, you're just going to worship me. And this one older gentleman stands up and says, you know, I've seen men like you, and there's always men like you. And that guy who stands up is the priest from Phantasm 2. And immediately went, oh, look at the priest. And I was looking around, oh, nobody.
Yeah, that guy's been in all kinds of stuff.
Like, oh, Kenneth Pagar, yeah, he's a long-time character, right? He was in Lethal Weapon 2 and a whole bunch of other stuff. But as soon as he stood up, it's like, ah, it's a priest.
Well, I think, too, another thing with Phantasm 2 is, like, the makeup effects and stuff is really good in that movie as well.
Yeah, Mark Sjostrom had a crew on that, Robert Kurtzman was on that crew, Greg Nicotero, a whole bunch of people. And what was interesting about that movie was it came out at a time in 1988 when horror films were just getting the guts ripped out of them the MPAA was basically not letting a drop of blood get through on anything. I mean, that was the same year of Friday the 13th Part 7, and all these other movies were just literally, there was nothing being shown. And Phantasm 2 got away with a surprising amount of gruesome shit because when the tall man melts at the end of the picture, it's not blood, it's this yellow goo, so they could kind of, but it's still disgusting. His eyeballs explode, and the whole thing with the one that always got me was the big sphere going up through the guy's back, through his body, and then getting jammed in his mouth.
Yeah.
Was just really, really gruesome. And yet, what the weird thing was, they let all that through, and they wouldn't let Don Coscarelli, when the ball hits the priest in the head, and it drills his, and the blood comes out, he shot and edited that way, frame for frame, almost exactly how he had done in the first Phantasm. And even though that got an R rating, they wouldn't let him have it the same way in Phantasm 2. He had to cut it, even though the exact same bit, shot for shot, they let through, you know, 7, 8, 9 years earlier. So it was, nothing made sense back then. It was just very, very strange. But, the effects and the makeup in that worked exceptionally good.
So a couple other things, though. I'll name off a couple of titles, because these are newer releases, so you can just say whatever you want to say about them, like if you're working on them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones that recently got announced that people are, like, creaming their jeans over because they're cult films. Video.
Well, so not, they're either creaming their jeans or they're shitting in their pants.
Right.
There's a lot of pants activity, apparently, according to you guys.
Right. This is an overactive prostate and a lot of horror.
Nobody wears shorts.
Oh, it's interesting.
Video Dead. What can you say?
Well, I am working on that one, and we're going to do some stuff for it. That's an interesting title because pretty much that was just this one-off independent film done by some friends and an enterprising young filmmaker who left the business very shortly after that. And it's actually mostly due to one guy, Chris McGibbon, who I've become friends with, who kind of spearheaded this revival of the Video Dead to kind of get it brought back out. So, you know, we're hoping to do some stuff for it. I don't know how involved it's going to be, but we're definitely going to try and do something for it.
Okay.
The one thing that I was kind of surprised at, though, and I know it changed with we were talking about earlier, the Death Valley, which was originally a DVD. Is there a chance like this could be changed? Because I know they just announced it as a DVD. Could we get a Blu-ray of that as well, maybe, if the fans kind of demand it or something?
For Video Dead?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think they've announced fully. I think they're just... The last few titles have just been announced, here's a title we're doing. I don't think they've really planned out yet what format they're in or what, you know, if they're going to be separate or paired up together or what. I really don't know. All I know is that they're going to do Video Dead.
Well, you know something.
When or how it comes out, I don't know.
You know, just on the off chance that maybe somebody from Shout Factory is listening, I think that, like, you could do a lot of really cool things with the Video Dead, even maybe release a VHS limited edition. What the hell? It's called the fucking Video Dead, so why not?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I want some commission on that if that happens.
Oh, yeah, if that happens, I'll make sure you get a commission. So I'm going to definitely make sure that doesn't happen. So I don't know. I mean, again, Video Dead, could there be a Blu-ray? Maybe. I don't know. I am not in the loop on that decision.
Okay. Deadly Bressing.
Yeah, I'm working on that one, and that one's going to be, hopefully have some good stuff for that one. That one's another kind of a smaller film, kind of like a Funhouse one.
Yeah.
Where there's not, really as many participants on that one, because a lot of the actresses aren't working anymore, and a couple of the ones like Sharon Stone, we've reached out to her, not really anticipating much of a positive response. So I don't know if but we'll see what happens. But there's definitely going to be materials on that one, but I can't. We haven't firmed those up yet entirely.
Okay. And there's one other one that. Oddly enough, had never ever been released on DVD before as well, that a lot of people really champion this movie. And I've actually never seen the movie. It's, I think it's one of Kane Hodder's very first movies, horror movies, I guess, Prison, which,
Yes. Yeah, Prison was one of the last Empire films. And it was kind of an odd one for them because it was not a monster flick or kind of a sci-fi monster flick. It wasn't shot over in Rome. It was American lensed. It was shot in a real prison up in Rawlins, Wyoming. And it was the second film directed by Rennie Harlan, who went on to do Nightmare 4 and Die Hard 2 and Cutthroat Island, Long Kiss Goodnight, all those. And it was produced by Erwin Yablons, who did Halloween, and the lead actor was a guy named, I think you might know him, Viggo Mortensen, from Lord of the Rings. I mean, it was a big early film for a lot of people, and Kane Hodder was the stunt coordinator on it, and he plays very briefly at the end, he plays the reanimated corpse of the killer from that's been buried in the prison. And so it has John Carl Beekler did the effects for it, and it has a really high pedigree as far as, and it's a really good little movie. And it's also, this was one that MGM's had for years, and they've never, with all the attention Viggo Mortensen was getting, they never bothered to reissue it, because I don't think they even realized they had it. It's just one of those films that kind of sank out of the ways, but it's a really, really atmospheric and really effective little movie. And that's one we're hoping to do some good stuff for, because it's one that everyone who's associated with it seems to have always been really proud of it and really saddened that it didn't get a wider release.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody that you've tried to contact from that one yet?
We reached out to pretty much everybody. I don't know if we're, we're waiting. This is the thing. I'm not trying to be deliberately evasive. It's just a matter of, we're just now starting to hear back from folks. So I don't know who we're going to get yet or not, but.
Bullshit.
I don't. I mean, cause it's funny. You never can predict with these things. Sometimes you think, oh, this person will definitely do it. And then they're like, no. And the person you least think would want to have anything to do with it is the first person who signs up. So, we will wait and see. I don't think they even have a release date on Prison yet. So. Yeah.
I think it would be amazing as hell, though, if you got somebody like Sharon Stone talk about a movie like Deadly Blazing. I would just...
I wouldn't hold my breath. Wouldn't hold my breath on that one.
I
don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying that Sharon Stone has... is an unlikely participant at this point.
Now, we're recording this on a Thursday night, and I know by the time this show's going to be up, Shout Factory's going to announce some other title. So which one is it, Sleepy?
Yes, tell us right now, Sleepy.
I can't do that.
We can't put it on till tomorrow anyway.
It ain't going to be up till tomorrow.
Well, because, you see, if I tell you what they've told me it is, and then they change their minds and announce something else in its place, then I look like an asshole.
That's true. But actually, I
think they're announcing, I don't know, are they announcing two tomorrow or just one? I don't know.
Two.
I think they may just be announcing one. I don't know.
It's two, Sleepy.
But, all right, well, okay. I will do this under one condition and one condition only.
What's that?
That if... Because they're going to probably announce the thing early in the morning before you post this.
Right.
If it ends up being something other than what I say, you got to bleep out what I say.
Okay. We'll do it. I'm not even going to put the show up until tomorrow evening anyway, because I got to go to work early tomorrow.
right. Okay. So if that's the case, I'm counting on you guys. And if you don't do that, I'm going to come down there and piss on your porch.
Okay.
So
then, I'm ready though, Slippy. I'm bracing myself.
All right. The one they've told me they are announcing tomorrow is the town that dreaded Sundown.
Oh snap! Shit. That's a big one. That's like one of the last bastions of stuff.
Another one that hasn't been released on any damn thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time it was out was on a Good Times VHS back in the late 90s. So yeah, it's been a while since that one's been out. That's a great little movie.
Was that released in the theater or was that a TV movie? Because I always get
thought it was a
TV
movie.
That was the theater. It was an American International Pictures.
Okay.
AIP released that one. Now that was definitely it sounds like a Dark Knight and a Scarecrow type situation. But no, that one definitely was a theatrical release.
Wow. Very cool. There's a lot of people that are really
really like that movie though too.
It is. It's great. And that's, I think it's very clear that's where they got the inspiration for Tater Sack Jason.
Oh yeah.
Was from The Killer in
that. Well, I mean,
Steve Miner says that's not true though, Slippy. He says he didn't do that.
Yeah, and Victor Crowley wasn't based on Madman Mars either. That's what they say.
That didn't happen.
That's what I've been told is being announced. Now, if that comes out not to be true, you got to cut this shit.
Well, you said there's announcing two tomorrow.
I said, I don't know if they were. they were possibly announcing another one, but I don't know if they decided to do that or not. So I'm just going to shut up on that one.
Okay.
All right. Well, it sounds, at least we got that. So, but yeah. I think there's one more that we didn't talk about that, like, people have been wanting this fucking thing out forever. Like, any Full Moon fans out there and stuff, or Empire Pictures fans or whatever. Terrorvision.
Yeah. That movie's so goofy, man. That's one of those movies where after you're over, it's like you just kind of sit there and look at the television screen and go, what the hell was that? It is truly odd. And it's funny, that one does have a rather rabid cult following. It really does.
Yeah.
And so that's another one, like Prism, that we're going to try and get as many people for as possible, just because I think that the story about how that movie got made has to be very interesting.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to do, whatever we can for that. But again, that's still kind of a ways off. But again, none of these things, all I can say is all the stuff I'm working on, they will not be bare bones releases. They're going to have some substantial content in them.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving away from, Scream Factory, trying to, cause I know you're going to be busy for a while with that. You were actually talking about, I think the last time we had you on the show, like you were working on a script for actual movie. What's the status on that?
I'm trying to get back to the way it is. Just the last few months have been impossible to concentrate on anything else because, I had the first two Halloweens and Funhouse and all these major projects right out of the gate. Going forward, I'm trying to work out ahead as much as humanly possible so that I can actually devote time to getting some actual stuff working on the script that I've been working on. And I'm hoping to pick it all up and get kind of maybe most of it finished by the new year. Cause I've come to a point where it's just like, I'm lucky to still be doing this, and eventually this train's going to run off the tracks at some point. And, I need to bank as much of this as I can right now, but at the same time really work and get this first script done just so I can at least say I've done it. Cause it's been kind of hanging like an albatross around my neck for the longest time. I just need to go ahead and do it, and if it's good, fine. If not, then maybe it'll spur me on to work on something else. But the goal is to, by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, have enough of this stuff done and sort of in progress where I can actually devote some time to it.
I think that would be killer, because I know we got parts in it too, don't we?
Yeah, well, actually, two of the characters are pretty much you guys.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be incredibly flattering. And really
some unpleasant stuff happens to you.
Oh, no.
Something that I
wanted to talk to you about, because I know since you're in the business of the DVD, Blu-ray industry as far as the extras and stuff like that go, and even in the theatrical stuff, do you see, like, because we were talking about this on the show a couple weeks ago, in the next 10 years, like, do you see possibly the streaming technology, because, I mean, look how far it's come in the past 4 or 5 years. Do you think that, like, at some point there will not be a physical copy of something you can go in and or even order online? It'll all be like...
I think there will always be the physical copy option. Whether it kind of boils down to a collector's market, like kind of like what vinyls become these days, you know, where it's a very small part of a much larger picture. I think what would be interesting, and what I would love to see, I was just thinking about this the other day, is if the streaming abilities became strong enough and the bandwidth could be supported, like there would always, you could go somewhere and like, let's just take a movie out of, so like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. There would be like a repository. You go to the internet library. Where you go to, I want to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And there at where Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is the high def streaming version of the movie, the audio commentaries, the making of, the deleted scenes, the trailer, whatever the hell it is.
Oh, yeah.
And you can download and buy all of it or some of it or just a little bit of, you know, and then we can add stuff to it over time. Like, let's say Toby Hooper suddenly became available to do another commentary for some reason or some other cast member. We could add it to that archive. So it's always available at any time. It can consistently be updated. And so there wouldn't be need for physical formats anymore. And yet the stuff still out there. I think that would be great. I mean, that, to me, that's the dream.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually.
You know, because then it's like, you know, let's say, because there's been times like that where, you know, I've finished a project and then something's come along. It's like, oh, we just found a whole new rash of deleted scenes. It's like, well, shit, what do we do with this stuff? Well, if it's all online, we can go in and add it and say, hey, for you Monster Squad fans out there, online is part of the Monster Squad collection, all these new deleted scenes and everything. And it's all in one place and it will always be there. And I just think that is, for me, what the future holds. And I can't wait for that to show up.
Well,
because that means that my work still has a place and the people that do it also, we can still document this stuff and it'll still be available out there and it won't just be cast off and forgotten.
Yeah, and I think stuff like that will happen with the whole theatrical, like everybody's going digital now and all that. And like maybe there'll be like special theaters you can go in where you can kind of handpick the movie you want to watch or something like that, you know, like it'd be.
Oh, yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows what the future's going to hold on this? I mean, it's everything's moving so fast, and yet it's still so far off in some regards. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the future of what my job, because my job didn't exist 10 years ago. You know, it wasn't, you know, some people did documentaries for films every now and then, something major, but, you know, the idea of doing, you know, a documentary for Halloween 3 or the Monster Squad or Texas Chainsaw 2, it was, you know, who the hell, what was that going to be for? It was because of DVD that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now Blu-ray is becoming even more of that because now Blu-ray is becoming, even though Blu-ray is continuing to grow, people seem to forget, Blu-ray has shown growth every single year it's been out. Blu-ray is not some dying format. It continues to grow. It's just not growing at the spectacular rate that DVD was, but no one expected it to. So it's, you know, there's still a market for that. The Screen Factory is doing very well so far. I think I'm going to have, it's just going to be interesting to see how it transitions and if there's going to be a period where I won't really be doing anything at all or maybe I'll move on by then because I can't do this forever. But,
right.
Well, hey, look, as long as there's still good work to do, I'll keep doing it.
Cool. What I was saying is, I was surprised because I got Netflix streaming probably about eight or nine months ago. How much easier it is to just, you know, click on Netflix and watch a movie. And I'm just,
oh, sure.
And even for me, I'm like a diehard movie fan. I mean, I know people that just, you know, every Friday or Saturday night they want to watch a movie or something like that. And I see, as far as like even the Redbox and all that stuff, I don't see that even existing in another 5 or 6 years because the technology is just moving. Like if you watch a movie in high def on Netflix, it's not Blu-ray quality, but it's getting there. I mean,
it's getting there. I mean, it started like there's a new service called Vudu.
Oh yeah.
Which I was watching over at Don May's house the other night. He showed me something that he had downloaded and streamed off the web. I was like, God, if you hadn't told me this, I might have thought this was a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's starting to get there, and it's you know, at the end of the day, I'd be trying to find a video store these days. You know, I mean, it's not, it's really hard to, and the Redbox thing, eventually that will, because that's what Redbox sells is convenience. Well, if the most convenient thing in the world for you to turn your TV on and just buy it at home,
right,
you're not going to need Redbox. And when they tried the grocery store thing a million times during the VHS days too, and, it's, you know, it'll be what it is, but you know, it's, I don't know, guys. The technology is always shifting and always evolving, and it's like dog years. You know, it's 1 year in the technological world is equal to, you know, 5 in the real world. So things just moving at such a clip. It's just hard to keep track of it sometimes. But I don't know.
Two things I was going to ask you about: Night Living Dead 90 on Blu-ray and Document of the Dead exclusive from Synapse. I know you're a fan of Romero stuff. What are your thoughts on those, real quick?
I have not yet seen the Night of Living Dead 1990. I do know a couple things. I know that the cinematographer through the transfer, Tom Savini, has seen it and he likes it very much. And it is not as blue as the screen grabs are making it out to be. I've heard from several friends who have watched it and have been on the phone with them while they've been watching, and they're like, I think these screen grabs are overly blue for some reason. It is quite a difference, and I kind of question the decision, you know, because I think someone should have informed Twilight Time, or Twilight Time should have been a little more proactive in saying, hey, look, this is a new version of this. It's been approved by the DP. They should have read it by Tom ahead of time and said, hey, is this cool with you? So they could just say, hey, look, it's different. It's not what you're used to, but this is what the director wanted. Because I've known Tom for years and talked to him about this movie several times, and he has always said that the movie was too bright, that it was always too much of a, you know, he wanted it to be moodier, he wanted it to be this and that, and he never really got the chance to do it right because the movie was rushed out really quick. So I think, from what I'm understanding, this is more close to what he wanted it to be. Having not seen it myself, I can't comment on how I think, you know, whether it's successful or not. But I've heard from several people, I think it, first of all, it's not as blue as it looks on the, it's not nearly as bad, and it actually does work pretty well. But if Tom Savini and the DP are okay with it, it's kind of hard to bitch too much.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So, and then the Document of the Dead thing, I haven't seen the new version of it yet. I'm very much looking forward to it. And then the Blu-ray will have the DVD in it with the longer version, but the original 16mm version, which has not been on VHS since, you know, long before this, before they added all the Two Evil Eyes stuff, this is the original 16mm version that he shot and edited after Dawn of the Dead, will be presented in high def on the Blu-ray, and that'll be an exclusive on their website, which I think is great. So that's the treatment I'm getting.
All I got.
I ordered 3. But, man, we'd like to thank you again, and definitely because I know you got a busy weekend and stuff like that, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, hey, man, this is great. We shouldn't wait a year until we do the next one of these things.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, we should definitely.
We could do another one of these things in 3 or 4 months, and I'll have a whole other rash of shit to talk about, because trust me, there's stuff that's going to be announced and coming up in the next 4 or 5 months that people are going to be like, oh shit, that's coming. So there's going to be a lot more to talk about. So let's try and chime in around the new year on this stuff again.
Welcome back, folks.
How's
everybody doing out there tonight? Did y'all enjoy the little talk with the Slipster?
Wasn't that awesome, all that stuff that he talked about with us?
It was great. We had some very in-depth discussions about some upcoming releases.
We did. I'm very proud of that conversation that we just had.
So we're winding down the show. I wanted to give everybody the heads up on a couple things that we have up right now. The first Chester Grimm show in at least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Is up on the Dead Pit YouTube page. Chester is back from the grave, and he's coming at you violently.
This is his first Halloween spooktacular thing in a long time.
Yeah, which is
weird
because, like, I don't know. I think he did Christmas specials before, like, and he never really did anything for Halloween.
Right. It's the mausoleum, though, right? Chester Grimm's mausoleum.
Chester Grimm's mausoleum returns, and it's better than ever, boys.
It's on Facebook.
Get you some of that Red Marmoset Wine and Spirits, too. They're sponsoring it.
Oh, God. I am looking forward to that. Everybody should check that out immediately, if not sooner.
Check that out also. I want to let everybody know that we, Dead Pit, we're going to have a table actually representing the East Kentucky Fair Festival at the Jenny Wiley Pioneer Festival next weekend.
Hell yeah, boys. We're legitimate now.
Yeah, we're going to be fucking probably the oddest table there, considering we don't have anything to do with bluegrass music, food.
Or crafts.
Or any kind of crafts.
Here's this little doll I made out of a hacky sack. Fuck you. What in the fuck is a t-shirt that says Dead Pit on it? Why do I want that? I'm looking for a George Jones t-shirt. I want a banjo made out of plywood.
We'll have somebody, we'll have some old man walk up and go, boy, y'all know when that next bluegrass band's going to be starting?
Is that what he's going to do?
I come down here to listen to bluegrass music and eat me some fucking taters.
You know where them funnel cakes are at, boy.
I want to try me one of them goddamn deep fried Twinkies.
Give me a deep fried tater. Shut up. A deep fried baked potato.
I want me a fucking deep fried Crisco can.
Deep fry me this wrench.
So.
Anyway.
We got that next weekend also. We'll be promoting the East Kentucky Fair Festival 35mm screening of John Carpenter's Halloween. It's going to be the biggest midnight movie of all time in Prestonsburg. And you can get your tickets now.
Right now.
Right now.
Now. Yeah, it is going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread, so be there.
Yeah. What else is there to talk about, Uncle Bill? Anything else big?
I don't think so. I think that about covers it.
Probably about covers it. But next week's show, we're going to try to get something new lined up for you guys and see what we can do. It's a busy time of the year for Dead Pit. And I know people, here's another thing I wanted to mention too. And I've been working on this, but we've been so busy with other shit. The Dead Pit premium section.
Oh, yeah.
Which originally.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that supposed to be 10?
11, 12. 11,
12, yeah.
Which is coming up here in like a week.
Yeah.
So, the bottom line is, we're going to have to delay it.
I knew it!
I've just been too busy, Uncle Bill.
Fuck.
Haven't been able to put everything together.
Fuck.
But, what I'm promising is, and this is a promise, and if this doesn't happen, somebody can squarely kick me in the balls.
Oh, I'll take you up.
We will, this thing will be up by the year's end. Uncle Bill.
You just add two more months onto it.
By the year's end, we're going to have, and here's the deal. Here's what the pricing structure, as far as the exact price goes, we don't know that yet. But for 1 week, we're going to have an hellacious deal for the premium section. And after that, it's going to be one monthly fee. So you might be able to get one whole year for the price that it'll cost, you know, about 3 months.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a hellacious deal for everybody who wants to get in on it. And the deal I'm going to make with you guys is, because the people that get in on that first week, you guys are going to, you know, when your year is up, you're going to get to renew it at that price. So we're going to, you know, let the people that support Dead Pit the most keep that price every year.
Because unlike other people, we actually like to give things to our fans.
Yeah.
And not just take.
So, we'll talk about that as the months go on. But I have been working on it. If you want to see some progress, you can go on the Dead Pit Facebook page, Dead Pit Universe, and check all that stuff out.
So, that being said, oof!
Root beer and anal.
Root beer.
Root beer. So that is it for the show. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We will be back next week, and stay tuned to the MySpace.
God damn, but how long has it been since we did that?
The Facebook, the Midweek Obliteration, the YouTube, all that stuff.
Also, though, I want you to keep your eye on the MySpace page.
And the MySpace page still is up somewhere.
We'll put something up on there eventually.
I did see something, speaking of that, where Justin Timberlake bought MySpace or something, and he's like unveiling the new MySpace.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, I think people done fucking forgot about MySpace.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake bought MySpace.
Or he has partial ownership in it or something.
Buddy, I don't care who you are. You're not going to save MySpace. That shit's funny.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be dead and buried. Trying to fucking bring back fucking BearShare or ICQ or something.
ICQ? Shit.
Hello, I'm Sonny Landham. I'm the new owner and operator of ICQ.
Chat with me now.
There's a lot of stuff that's upcoming that we're excited about. ICQ is going to be bigger and better than ever in 2013.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really horrible ideas. That's definitely one of them.
It's Landham and Associates, new ICQ. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Doggone.